Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Rich is a Capitol member of Bryce Downey and Lenkhoff. Did you see the story about the woman who got hit by a foul ball? No, it was a line drive at the Cubs game a couple of years ago, 2018.
Yes, of course. Okay, thankfully, otherwise I'd have nothing to talk about this morning.
This wasn't the Albert L. Morris story, though, Jr., from last year, where a woman got hit as well. This happened by a Mets player, a foul ball by a Mets player, smashed into her face. She said, "The blow knocked me unconscious. When I awoke, my beef sandwich was the only thing I had to catch the waterfall of blood running down my face." This happened in August of 2018. She suffered spider fractures under both eyes. She still has a bloody nose. Her sense of taste and smell's been affected. She's still got dental work she has to go through now. It's 2020, and that was in August of 2018. Her lawsuit contends that protective netting at the ballpark should have been extended to protect more spectators. I'm reading from the Tribune story last week. I wonder what the timing on this is. 2018, you didn't have to have protective netting up. But afterwards, baseball said, yeah, we should do that. So I wonder if that's a sort of tacit admission by baseball, Rich, that they do have an obligation. They do need to protect people because it's dangerous. And maybe this lady has a case here.
Yeah, it's a great observation, John, because the timing is, as is often the case, very relevant. And actually, the complaint alleges that dating back to 2015, Rob Manfred, who's the commissioner of Major League Baseball, mentioned, and there's a memo to this effect that netting should be extended far down towards the foul, you know, the extent of the foul pole lines. So when you're trying to prove a negligence case, what's very important is the state of mind of the defendant and the degree to which they knew, or as we say in the legal world, should have known, whether a reasonable person would have known that there's a hazard to be corrected. And in this case, they're alleging that at least as far back as 2015, well before this happened, the Cubs and Major League Baseball knew of the risks of not having netting.
She wants more than $50,000 in damages. I don't know if that's for the medical bills or just a way of punishing the team, and she'll do whatever she wants with that cash. I've always been on the side of the people that get hit by baseballs. I've always thought that the fine print on the back of a Major League Baseball ticket was ridiculous. People cannot be expected to get out of the way of a line drive.
Well, the courts have disagreed with you. The baseball rule, as it's called, goes back over a century and protects Major League Baseball and the clubs, the individual clubs, from these kind of lawsuits. You know, people have filed them. You know, there's a few of them filed every year, high-profile ones, including the Almora one that you mentioned, which is still pending. But they generally get dismissed, John, because of what you mentioned. There is a waiver of liability that you enter into, believe it or not, when you buy that ticket. In the fine print on the ticket, it basically says that the assumption of risk that you enter into when entering Wrigley Field protects Major League Baseball from liability, and that you should be aware of the risks. Now, the reason people keep filing lawsuits and the reason that, you know, at some point a judge might allow them to continue is because, like I said, that rule goes back, you know, over 100 years and times have changed, right? I mean, baseball players are bigger and stronger and faster, and people, very importantly, people are more distracted than ever at games. So there's an exception that says that if a defendant, like the Cubs, create a distraction, then there's an exception to the idea that you're responsible for your own safety. So the short answer is this lawsuit may survive, but if it goes like every other lawsuit that's been filed, it'll be dismissed.
I'll bet they'll get the announcement. You know, they'll play back the PA announcer saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the scoreboard." Of course, they don't do that during the game. I'm just thinking of an instance where the ballpark is actually putting something up on the screen or doing some antics in the stands that would logically direct your attention away from the play on the field, and you know, now I can't do both. You asked me to do this now, but you're playing the game. Mm-hmm. Is there any other extenuating circumstance in this case other than just the timeline of it all? Maybe eventually somebody will say, yeah, we think the fans have a case here. Is there anything unique about this case?
No, not really. It's a fairly routine example of a ball going into the stands, but you really nailed the logic that the plaintiff wants the judge to buy into to allow the lawsuit to survive and eventually the jury. That more than ever, when you go to a game, any game, you're distracted by a million things, many of which are created by the actual clubs, including your cell phone, right? I mean, when you go to a game, you know, they're encouraging you to report issues on your cell phone or to follow the game, you know, on your phone, and they're sending you all sorts of advertisements that are promoting you to be on your phone. And, of course, being on your phone is a major reason why you'd be distracted from a foul ball. So I think it's a good argument. You know, as someone who defends these kind of lawsuits all the time, I would fight strongly against the idea that this would be an exception. I still think that, you know, the baseball rule applies, but to your point, I think eventually a court will find those arguments compelling and think that a 100-year-old rule shouldn't apply anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm on the side of that. Talk to me about something. Okay, so that's a case. 2018 is when it happened, but it's before the courts now. We'll just continue. Be ironic, wouldn't it, that Major League Baseball gets hit with a ruling like that when they can't even play the game? But that might happen. Talk to me about the liability that employers have when we come. Oh, and I'm just looking at the clock, Rich. It's 10:43. Let's pause here and come back with the liability that an employer will have when we go back to business if I get sick. This is WGN. Rich Lankoff is an attorney whose podcast you hear, Legal Face-Off, on the WGN radio platform. He joins us frequently to talk about issues in the law. He's a capital member of Bryce, Downey, and Lankoff. By the way, Rich, as we go from baseball to the liability of employers, can I play a little sound for you first?
Would love to hear it.
This is the South Korean Professional Baseball League, which has resumed. NC Dinos versus the Samsung Lions. They had their opening day yesterday, and if you're wondering what it will sound like when we play baseball without fans in the stands, here's the play-by-play of something going on in that game.
Welcome to KBO입니다. 딕슨 마차도. 자, 마차도 선수가 정말 오늘.
Oh, that wasn't too bad. That wasn't too painful. My favorite part was the whoa. But the it sounds like they got the dugout mic or the players on the field. That wasn't thousands of people, but that was dozens of people cheering on the big hit.
John, I texted our mutual friend last night about 1:05 a.m., Sam Panianovich, who is, I know, your go-to guy for all things sports betting, and asked him which of the dinos I should put my money on last night.
And he probably had a good line on that.
Well, he did, and actually I was watching former White Sox Tyler Saladino, who's a member of the Lions.
That's why he was trending. I saw that, and I thought,
yes,
what? He was in that game?
Absolutely. He got the first hit, I believe, of the 2020 KBO League, whatever the name of the league is, season.
Well, I'll be Sogodaya. Wow, how about that? Okay, so there's that. Now let's go back to what you do for a living, and that is help us understand law. What will the liabilities be to employers when we all go back to work?
Yeah, so, I mean, great question. You know, kind of hard to summarize in a few minutes because it's fairly involved, but I'll just tell you quickly that the only remedy that you have as an injured employee against your employer is to file a workers' compensation claim, as you referenced earlier. So if you get hurt or if anyone gets hurt, they could file a claim with the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission and have their benefits adjudicated that way. Now, a lot of your listeners may have heard of a lawsuit against Walmart about 3 weeks ago in circuit court in Cook County that got a lot of attention nationwide because the estate of a deceased employee who died from COVID-19 sued Walmart. It was Walmart in Evergreen Park. for the injury. And a lot of us who practice law said, well, how can you sue Walmart, your employer, for an injury that happened at work? And the person who filed the lawsuit, the attorney, is trying to claim an exception to that. It probably will fail. So the short answer is employers have liability for work-related injuries through the commission. And the key there is work-related. And as you pointed out a few minutes ago, it's very challenging for a plaintiff, for a petitioner, to prove that their work caused the virus, because you could get it anywhere.
Right.
And as you just mentioned, it was easier about a week ago until the governor repealed the rule change.
I just wonder if this is an avenue to change the rule, though, because it's such an extraordinary circumstance. Yes, it is impossible to prove that, but and by the way, I'm on the side of the employers on this. I think it's going to be risky for all of us. Some people are still going to get sick. Nobody wants that. And as long as the employer's making a credible effort, I'm on his side. But I could see where somebody would say those old rules just don't apply here. It's not like he wasn't making a safe work environment, but he has a special obligation to make an extraordinary effort if he's calling us back to work in a place that may very well be unsafe. And I can't prove it, but I wonder what hoops he should have to jump through.
Well, you can prove it still. It's difficult, right? Because you can get COVID, you know, as easily outside the workplace as inside. But if you can prove that other coworkers had it, or that your employer was not putting forth enough protections or PPEs, you can still prove your case and get benefits. But right now, Illinois has not put in place rules that make it easier to prove. They did, and then because of the outrage by the business community and the lawsuit, they repealed it. Will Pritzker reinstate something? I think he will, by executive order.
Really?
Or by the legislature, you know, even though they're out of session, I think it's one thing they could take up quickly. But as of today, Illinois is not a state that's made it easier for essential workers to prove that their injury was caused by work.
How would that law change? What would that look like? Do you know?
Yeah, it would just make it would be similar to the rule that we saw. It would, you know, deem a class of employees like first responders. It would give them what's called a rebuttable presumption, which means that you assume that the virus was caused by work, and then the burden would shift to the employer to show that it wasn't related to work. So off the bat, the employee would have the benefit of not having to jump through the hoops that you mentioned to prove their case.
Would that be specific for COVID-19?
Yes, absolutely. It would be a really, you know, a strict, just for COVID-19.
All right, but I saw an estimate today, and it's not the first time I've seen it, that before this is all said and done, 70% of us will have had the virus, which means 7 out of 10 people at work are going to have an opportunity to sue their employer and say, I think I got it at work. That's going to bankrupt employers.
Exactly true. And as someone who represents employers, I, you know, agree that that would not be a rule that I would, you know, support.
Yeah, well,
obviously, and that's why, you know, the governor repealed it, because it was way too overbroad. The current rules and the current, you know, evidentiary standards of what you need to prove for any work-related injury are enough, right? So if you're alleging carpal tunnel because you're typing too much at work, you still have to prove, you have to provide evidence that work caused it. So you still have avenues as a plaintiff to prove your case, you know, under current Illinois law, which I think is plenty.
I'm thinking all of a sudden about what happened to the people after 9/11, the people that survived it or the family members of individuals who did not. And a lot of them got thousands and millions of dollars, either from charity or lawsuits or insurance claims. And at some point, I think you could simply say bad things happen in the world, and it doesn't mean you're going to get a check. It sucks to be you, but you don't get a check. And that's not fair, because that's the way the world is. And there's a little bit of me, I'll let you turn that off, Rich, there's a little bit of me that's thinking about that, about the virus that way. I don't know that because you get sick, somebody else, not even China, it's not their fault. You don't get a check.
Yeah, and especially under the current climate. I mean, the 9/11 fund is a good analogy, but under the, you know, in the current climate, and especially under the current occupant of the White House, I don't think you'll see that, right? And Mitch McConnell, you know, the Senate Majority Leader, has come out very forcefully in favor of liability waivers for employers and manufacturers of you know, PPEs and other things like ventilators. So I don't think, especially given all the lawsuits we're seeing against governors, right, I don't think the climate is there to create a broad fund by which victims would recover.
Right, right. By the way, I'm going to. We got a minute and a half left, and I'm just going to go back to one other topic before we wrap this up. Frank, you're on WGN Radio. We were talking baseball a minute ago. Frank, what was your question?
John, I'll try to make this quick. We're talking about negligence, and there is fine print on the back of the ticket that says that they're not responsible for injuries, and you said the courts heavily lean in the favor of Major League Baseball, then why do we have nets at all? Someone has made a decision to go 100 feet away from home plate or 125 feet because someone did the research that said, well, foul balls generally only go 100 feet past third base or first base, so we're only going to extend the netting to, let's say, whatever it is, 125 feet. So someone has made a decision to do that, and if someone gets hurt, then there's negligence that if the net would have gone 150 feet
that's
or 200
point.
Feet,
no,
people
I get it.
Would have been saved.
Let's let him respond to that. That's a good point.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a great point. I think that's why you're seeing, you know, at least by some of these lawsuits, some chipping away of the argument. Mm-hmm. But the counter to that is you can't put a net around the entire stadium, right, and that at some point people have to look out for their own safety. But I agree with you that if there's a consciousness that we should extend netting to a certain point, then at least to the end of the foul poles, at least in that, you know, very dangerous area, yeah. If there's no nets there, that's a compelling argument. I agree.
Somewhere there's a guy named Ricketts and another guy named Reinsdorf going, really? Really, you guys? I can't make a nickel right now. I don't even get rights fees right now. Are you kidding me? All right, Rich Lenkoff, you got another podcast coming up anytime soon?
We are taping it in a few hours, and it will be released on WGN later today.
Legal Face-Off. Good to talk to you again, Rich. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, King.
Rich, not yet. And don't know that I want to be anymore. The news is coming up.